A number of years ago, Focus on the Family magazine ran an article featuring different family traditions surrounding Thanksgiving. In the article, Joanne Kraft said that one of her family's favorite traditions began when she brought a package of fabric pens to the table and asked everyone to write something on the tablecloth that they were thankful for. Everyone took turns writing short notes on the cloth, she said. And we have continued to bring out the pens every year. Notes of love for family, our country, and our God are arranged around the light yellow cloth. Children's handprints are tucked in next to earnest messages of gratitude, while great-grandma Cusimano's handwriting holds a special place in the center of the mosaic. The tablecloth has become precious to our family. Every November, because they're Americans, my children request the honor of putting out the tablecloth, just as they ask to put the angel on the top of our Christmas tree. When Thanksgiving Day arrives, our guests smile and laugh as they read through the memories while the children search to find their handprints, thrilled to see how much they've grown. When the guests have gone home and the dishes have been put away, Joanne says, I take a few moments for a tradition of my own, reading the special messages left behind by my family and friends. Not all of our family members are present every year, but their words remain on the cloth, reminding me to say a prayer of thanks for each and every one of them. When I first read about the Crafts family tablecloth, I remember thinking, wow, what a great way to keep the focus of Thanksgiving on thanking God. I mean, isn't it amazing just how quickly the act of giving thanks can get lost amidst the turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy? So, what are you thankful for? If your wife or mother suddenly came to the table with a package of fabric pens this Thanksgiving, what would you write? I'd be inclined to write the title of this morning's sermon, Thank You, Lord, for Your Steadfast Love. I say that in large measure because of my time spent this past week in Psalm 136. As Thanksgiving drew closer and closer, it became clear that our study in the Gospel of Luke was not going to provide a text that thematically matched up with the occasion. But wouldn't you know it, in God's kind providence, the psalm we were scheduled to look at in our evening service this week provided a perfect fit. And since our plan for tonight is to give you an opportunity to publicly thank God for His goodness to you over this past year, it just seemed right to make Psalm 136 the text for this morning. If you're using a Bible from the pew rack in front of you, you'll be able to find Psalm 136 on page 520. Let me read that now for you. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for His steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever, a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. The repeated refrain of this psalm is hard to miss. God's steadfast love endures forever. But there is another repeated thought that is not nearly so obvious. That of thanksgiving. As Derek Kidner says, the Hebrew word translated give thanks introduces not only each of the first three verses and the final one, but also unheard every verse or sequence in the psalm, right? Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for he is good. Or give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to him, right? We have all these twos. What's the first part of all those twos? Give thanks. Give thanks to him who alone does give great wonders. Give thanks to him who by understanding made the heavens. Give thanks to him who spread out the earth above the waters. Give thanks to him who made the great lights. Do you see how the call to give thanks is just as often repeated, though unheard, as the reminder that this one we thank has an enduring, steadfast love for us. That word, translated give thanks, basically means confess or acknowledge. And therefore, the call to us is to be thoughtful and grateful in our worship, spelling out what we know or have found of God's glory and his deeds. And what has the psalmist found that he confesses over and over again? That he desires that we should confess over and over again too? He has found that God's steadfast love endures forever. As Tim Keller says, his love endures forever is repeated. But why love? Doesn't his righteousness and power endure too? None of the attributes of God can be understood without the others. Still, Paul hints that while God's greatness can be logically deduced from the created world, Roger read about that in Romans chapter 1, God's love is a complete surprise and wonder. As you move through Romans chapter 1, the verse we did not read at the end of chapter 1 is this: though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, you remember that list of sins at the very end? They know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. They know God is mighty, and they know God has said those who do these things should die. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. That's where our world is at. Our world understands that God is powerful, that God is just, that we deserve to die, but the world does not necessarily understand that God is love. Sure, we speak a lot about that. But do we believe it in our heart of hearts? Or is there a lingering fear of death? And why should there be a fear of death if there is a God who loves everybody? It's because we're not even honest with ourselves. We know things deep down we don't even want to tell ourselves. God is powerful. We are sinful. We deserve to die. But the good news is, this God is also a God of steadfast love that endures forever. Looking at the human heart and history, you would never conclude that God loves us, but He does. Paul asks for help to grasp not God's righteousness, but how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Help me understand your love. I get your righteousness. I get your holiness. I get your wrath. Help me to understand your love. And we need that help too, which is why I think we have Psalm 136. We need to be convinced of God's steadfast love toward us before we will ever think to thank Him for it. Which is what we're called to do from the very beginning of this psalm. So how does God help us to grasp the length and width and height and depth of His love? He does so by showing it to us. God shows us His love in creation. God shows us His love in redemption. And God shows us His love in His ongoing work of sustaining all things. Let's look at each of those in turn, shall we? First, God shows us His steadfast love in creation. Give thanks to Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. According to verse 5, God's wisdom in making things the way that they are is proof of His unfailing love. Consider the heavens with their great lights, the sun to rule over the day, and the moon and stars to rule over the night. God, in His wisdom, created the sun to give us light, to give us heat, to give us vitamin D, and to bring joy to our hearts as we feel the sun shine on our face. Doesn't that feel good? As we're getting closer and closer to winter, just think about how good that feels and carry that thought with you throughout the winter. It feels good to have the sun shine on your face. But as cryophysicist Dr. Robert Gange notes, this gift of the sun to rule over the day is a fine-tuned wonder exhibiting intricate design. Earth's temperature, he says, depends upon light from the sun, which in turn comes from intricate nuclear processes that work in part because a neutron weighs slightly more than a hydrogen atom. But were it the other way around, the sun, along with all other stars in the universe, would collapse and bathe Earth with deadly radiation that would destroy all life. Thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love! Thank you for making the heavens with divine insight and understanding. I mean, who wants to be bathed in deadly radiation? Anyone? No? Okay. Isn't this wonderful? That God, by His wisdom, made the sun the way He did. Verse 6 moves from God's creation of the heavens to God's creation of the earth, saying, give thanks to Him who spread out the earth above or upon the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. According to David Knight, water not only refreshes us, but we could hardly ask for a more perfect gift. The chemistry of water is especially well suited to the stringent requirements of biological life. Warm-blooded mammals like us need water in liquid form to stay alive. So do fish and fowl, coral and oak trees. Thankfully, flowing water is what we get across the temperature gradient of much of the Earth. The liquid band between vapor and ice is far wider than for most elements in the universe, which allows us to survive. Water retains heat remarkably well, so oceans help keep the world warm in winter and cool in summer. The electrical polarity of water molecules, which makes it the best solvent in the world, also lets them ship nutrients along our bloodstream and through cell membranes. Water has an unusually high surface tension, which enables trees to lift water from underground roots to their highest branches. It swells grain and bursts open seed pods. It forms our tears and aids perspiration. It lets water seep into fissures in rock. And then, in a rare but critical maneuver, just before freezing, it expands and cracks open crevices in the rock and releases minerals for downstream life. And because ice expands, lakes and rivers freeze from the top down rather than from the bottom up, allowing fish to survive and life to resume when the sun returns in the spring. Biochemist and theologian Alistair McGrath notes that these and many other distinctive properties of water are indispensable for the functioning of proteins and biological cells. Water, then, is a crucial, unique, and life-sustaining gift. So thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love in spreading the earth out upon the waters. We could spend hours cataloging the steadfast love of the Lord as displayed in creation. But our psalmist only spends 5 verses on the topic, looking at the sun, the moon, and the stars, and water, and then moves on. Because while this is a wonderful place to camp, and God certainly shows us his love in creation, there is a place where he shows his love to an even greater extent. And that is in redemption. Look again at verses 10 to 22. And you will forgive me, I hope, for skipping over the repeated refrain as I read it this time. Give thanks to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Give thanks to him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. Give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness. Give thanks to him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his servant. For his steadfast love endures forever. Notice how God did everything necessary to get his people out of slavery in Egypt and into the promised land. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the plague that finally convinced Pharaoh to let God's people go. He divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it when Pharaoh changed his mind and chased after his former slaves. And when Pharaoh's army entered into the sea after them, God overthrew Pharaoh and his host by having the Red Sea close up over them. God led his people through the wilderness, giving them food and water time and time again. And he struck down great kings like Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, to give their land, the promised land, to Israel, his servant, as a heritage forever. All along the way, we see that God's people erupt into praise and thanksgiving. Yes, you might be thinking, they whine a lot too. They do. It's true. We're there also, aren't we? But it is interesting to note how often thanksgiving erupts. That isn't always covered so much. Perhaps most notably, after Pharaoh and his army were overthrown at the Red Sea, At that time, we read that Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love, I love that, you have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Did you notice how Israel identified herself as the people whom God had redeemed? And in doing so, thanked him for leading them in his steadfast love? Psalm 136 calls us to do the same. Like the Israelites, God has done everything necessary to get us out of slavery and into the promised land. He sent Jesus, his son, who Paul tells us was born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. An heir of what? Eternal life in heaven, the promised land. The Spirit, Paul tells us, is the guarantee of this inheritance of ours until we acquire possession of it. And guarantee is a strong word, isn't it? It tells us that God has done, is doing, and will do everything necessary to get us into the promised land. That, my friends, is love. Steadfast love. God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us to redeem us from slavery and to bring us into the promised land. He died to purchase your freedom from slavery and your entry into the promised land if you will but believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. God shows us his steadfast love in creation. God shows us his steadfast love in redemption. Thirdly, God shows us his steadfast love in sustaining us. Look now at verses 23 to 26. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. As Derek Kidner notes in his commentary, verses 23 and following may be summarizing the story already told, but more probably may be bringing it down to the present. After all, his steadfast love endures forever. And the refrain is designed to show the relevance of every act of God to every singer of the psalm, no matter what age. So God remembers you in your low estate. God rescues you from your foes, and God gives food to you even as He does to all flesh. You thank God for your food, don't you? God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for our food. Well, God's gift of food, God's gift of rescue, and God's gift of remembrance are all meant to show you that God loves you. It is He who remembers you in your low estate. That language of remembrance is covenantal language. It's the same language that Scripture uses in the flood account when we are told that God remembered Noah and as a result made a wind blow over the earth and the waters subsided. And it's the same language we find at the beginning of the book of Exodus when we are told that God heard the groaning of His people. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. When God remembers you in your low estate, He takes care of you. He sustains you. He feeds you. He rescues you. So once again, give thanks to the God of heaven. Why? Because His steadfast love endures forever. I want to close this morning by reading the entry in the ESV devotional Psalter for Psalm 136. I do so because once we are convinced of God's love for us, we need to drill down a little deeper and come to appreciate the fact that God's love for us is eternal. Here's what the ESV devotional Psalter has to say. Why does this psalm display such apparent redundancy? Because everything in us is hardwired to believe that His love could come to an end at any time. That is not steadfast, but faltering. We believe that He is like us. Throughout the psalm, therefore, we are reminded of God's repeated acts of deliverance for His people down through history. And each time we are told why the Lord rescued His people. For His steadfast love endures forever. He does not deliver because His people deserve it. He does not save us because we impress Him. He delivers because this is who He is toward wayward sinners. Do you feel that you have used up God's reserve of love for you? Do you not realize that the more you need of His love, the more His heart gives it? His steadfast love endures forever. There is no ceiling to it, no end of the line. He gives Himself, all of Himself to you, all of you. The 18th century theologian Jonathan Edwards preached, His essence being love, He is, as it were, an infinite ocean of love, without shores and bottom, yea, and without a surface. Those that God is pleased to make the objects of His love, let them be who they will or what they will, never so mean, never so great sinners, they are the objects of a love that is infinitely full and sufficient. His love endures forever, beyond our failures, beyond our resentments, beyond our disgust with ourselves, beyond the love of any friend. Jesus Christ came for us and died for us. He secured the permanence and demonstrated the depths of God's heart of love for sinners. Jesus proved it. His love endures forever. Now thank Him. Let's pray.